Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Wednesday, February 16th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. We are live again on YouTube, Facebook, and it will be posted to Twitter. I think it happens. It gets posted on Twitter after the fact. I'm not really sure entirely, but I saw the tweet, and we had over 3,000 people watch on Twitter. We had over 1,000 people watch on YouTube and Facebook combined. So I see you. Menace Nation. I see you. 4,000 people watching live. And that was the first time, kind of unannounced, unnoticed. People saw it. So I would imagine today will be better. And this will only grow from here. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, I appreciate you. Chris, I didn't get to it yesterday, and I should have. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you, partner.
So what'd you do for Valentine's Day?
For Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, chill.
You're
chill,
a liar.
Chill. What did I do?
Didn't have a Valentine.
No, I stayed home. Oh, I had a kickball game on Valentine's Day. I had a kickball doubleheader on Valentine's Day. We went 1-1.
Ooh, someone's uncomfortable.
Chill on me, OG. I'm out the way.
Oh man!
But they say the Tuesday afterwards is like National Side Chick Day.
Ooh, like, so how was the National Side Chick Day for you?
Oh, not black men don't cheat, especially not during Black History Month. So,
well, I don't have a side chick. I have before, but I don't have one. Well, that's
how
good.
How was your Valentine's Day, Zach?
It was awesome. It was really awesome. We didn't do, I mean, on Valentine's Day, I made a bunch of seafood for Justine and my four-year-old, Lily. I will have a Valentine's Day date coming up this weekend with my nine-year-old, Quinn, because we always go on a Valentine's Day date. And but Saturday night was our Valentine's Day. Didn't have any kids. Her mom took the kids. And we had a time. Mm-hmm. We went to the casino, but a bunch of different places. It was fun.
heard of that. Me and Dick Trickler did the same thing. No Valentine, sat at home watching film.
Okay. Dick Trickler definitely had a Valentine's Day.
But he didn't specify what kind of film, though. So it could have been anything.
Home watching film. Oh, man. Well, we got some fun stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about some story times, talk about some players, former players, parents. I got a message on Facebook. A good topic would be, you know, kind of the good, bad, and the ugly of players' parents. And so we're going to talk about that. And we want to talk about a bunch of stuff, talk about a little Ohio State basketball and also, you know, some former player madness. But what do you got for me?
Well, honestly, man, I was deep in my rabbit hole today. You guys know my other job. I'm a, you know, morning show host in Akron. And I've been reading all this like Joe Rogan stuff, Zach, and I'm blown away more and more. I think cancel culture is starting to die, which is good news for me, because people love to cancel the Menace of Sports Twitter and say all kinds of things to me.
Here's the problem with it, right? Is it was going strong when it was all about human rights things, right? And when it was all about racism, violence against women, rape, like all the things that you're like, that is fucking terrible. Like, that's awful. Yeah. We definitely like, and so the minute something would come out, it was like, oh my God, that guy, like those people beat up that guy because he was black. Like that's awful. Or, oh my God, that guy hit his wife. That's awful. Like, that's what it started as. But I said it with my situation, and I've said it about every situation that came out. Every time there's a false accusation that gets championed and heralded as some powerful instance of something bad, but it's false. you completely diminish the cause, right? If you want to fight racism, the worst thing you could do in the world is champion Jussie Smollett, right? Ever. Like, if you want racism to stop, then you need to go absolutely ham on Jussie, right? You have to. And for every false accusation of rape or sexual assault or domestic violence, you need to absolutely explode on those fake victims. Otherwise, this is what happens, right? Not only does cancel culture go away, but now real claims of those things will be discounted as cancel culture. And you can blame what you want, but the reason is cancel culture. The reason is the people that go off about domestic violence when it wasn't domestic violence, or sexual assault when it wasn't sexual assault. It's some girl trying to get attention in a payday, right? Or racism when it's a black man that's trying to drum up racism, right? Like, yeah. Jussie did. I think it's dying, but this, the scary part, as someone who believes that cancel culture is a thing and thinks it's awful and the worst, one of the worst things in the world, it's scary, because as this dies, it's a pendulum, right? It's going to swing in that other direction.
Overcorrecting.
And now real victims are not going to be heard because of you stupid fucks out there that champion cancel culture, honestly. And I was thinking about it the other day, and I think everyone knows that listens to the show, kind of where my political lean is, but I try to steer away from politics.
And look, here's a cool thing, Zach. Mine is opposite of yours, and yet we can still do this together.
You think so? You're young. Just wait. just wait. You'll see. But you know what I think is hilarious? I mean, hilarious. 100% of the time that I have a troll on Twitter that is going off on me, posting court documents that my ex-wife sent them, or, I mean, she's never posted them publicly, or else it would be really bad. So I can't prove that she sent them to him, but only two people have them, and I didn't send them to him, right?
So allegedly, let's start with that.
Not allegedly. She sent them to him. Fuck that.
Okay. Heard that. But, I'm just trying to keep you out of trouble, Zach.
100% of the time, they are staunch Democrats, right? And I'm not here to say why, or, and I'm not even I'm not even projecting anything. Like, it just, every single time I go on, I'm like, all right, who are they following? And I look, and it's like Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, like AOC, all the, and I'm sitting here like, what is it about Democrats that they just thrive and love cancel culture? Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't understand it. And what is it politically about? Like, isn't domestic violence a bipartisan issue? why are liberals like that? I don't understand. And it'd be one thing, and don't get me wrong, I'm not here to politicize this show, because I know the extreme right and the Trumpers that are like fucking psychotic are crazy too. I know that, but I just don't understand why the liberals come for me. Like, what? It's not because I have ever said Trump's a good guy. I've never said that. Never thought that. I don't like him. I didn't like him. I loved some of his policies, but I can't stand the guy. But I'm curious why liberals are always the ones that come after me. Like,
I think they saw the social media power in it like one or two times, and then it became like the Timmy Turner thing where you just like make a wish again, and you think you can solve all your problems like that. When in reality, we could just solve our problems by, you know, having a real intellectual discussion about something rather than having a 24-hour news network look for things to stick, look for things to do rating, and then also influence, you know, grand scheme of things. So, but... Enough about that, Zach. I did want to ask you about, are you an NBA fan? Are you like not with the NBA?
I hate the NBA.
Well, I love the NBA as a true hooper. I'm a big NBA fan. the 76ers traded for James Harden.
I saw that.
They lost by 48 last night.
Did he play?
No, but they shouldn't lose by 48 anyway. No matter what.
Not good for 49. So
James Harden doesn't average 48 points a game.
Lost
by 48, and that's my man. I want him to be successful so bad, but I am very concerned about that moving forward. Also, yesterday on the Ohio State front, Ohio State hoops, they moved to 16-6 with a win last night. We're after Black History Month, we get March Madness, so it's like a great two-month stretch for the Black people, including myself. Like, I love it. Not that white people can't love basketball too, but Black people just love it more is kind of the rule. But this is kind of my PSA to enjoy EJ Liddell for as long as he's here, because March Madness is about two things. It's about a team getting hot at the right time, and then it's about having star players for those stretches of games where things cool off. And I say this every year, but I really think I mean it this year. This Ohio State team could be primed for a really good run in March.
All right, absolutely. Oh, look what I figured out, Chris.
Oh, heard that. Oh, no.
Chris needs Johnny to help him decorate the wall. Oh, this is sweet. I can add comments?
Yeah.
Yep. It's game over now. Well, no. You need to get your wall decorated. Call Johnny. Johnny okay. is the interior decorator.
I'm in the process of renovating a place to live. So once I get that all squared away, I will have decorate. I'll probably have Johnny's face up on the wall.
Please don't. Please don't do that. I will say this. I only watched the first half of the Buckeyes game yesterday, and it was disgusting. But I know they turned it on in the second half. But I mean, the first half their defense was phenomenal. They gave up 25 points, and they still were losing at halftime. It's just and I know that because we put out a parlay with Ohio State first half money line and it lost because of that. But EJ Liddell is phenomenal. He is a phenomenal. And to kind of pivot off of my hate for the NBA. Or not hate, just dislike. I love college basketball.
It's too star driven is kind of the bigger issue with the NBA.
Well, and it's just not it's not the real sport anymore. It's soft as shit. And
that's what I'm saying.
And I can't stand 80% of the stars. Honestly, like I love Kyrie Irving. I think he's my favorite player.
I love James Harden.
Yeah, I like James Harden too. I do. But like Russell Westbrook is a baby back bitch, like crying all the time. LeBron is the fucking worst. Such a little bitch.
I don't take a ton of LeBron slander because it's
like, it's okay. I mean, you're from Akron, so it's like this blind love for a fucking douchebag. I get it.
Absolutely blind love.
Yeah. And Kevin, I don't like Kevin Durant. So it just is what it is. But I love college basketball. Moral of the story. March Madness is my favorite sporting event in the world. It is phenomenal. So I'm really excited for it. And it'll be interesting to see how Ohio State does, because like you said, I think EJ Liddell is a star. And I think, you know, this team 16-6 got a chance to get a decent seed, see what they can do in the Big Ten tournament. And let's have some fun, man. Let's go dancing. Right.
Yeah. Definitely excited for March Madness. I do want to kind of flip to football. Like we talked about yesterday, it's officially silly season in terms of like the NFL. Obviously I did want to ask yesterday, is Aaron Donald better than Lawrence Taylor?
No.
Okay, because that's
been they kind play of the different thing. Positions, right?
Yeah, heard that. I had someone in the group chat text me that, and then I also saw it on Twitter a couple times.
I saw it all over Twitter, and it's like, wait a minute. I mean, they don't play the same position. I don't know how you evaluate that, but the real question is he better than Reggie White?
Yeah.
I forget the stat, but it was something like Reggie White played 124 games and had 125 sacks. Like, right. He had one more sack than games. And again, impossible to compare the two because Reggie White was a D end, Aaron Donald's a D tackle. But Aaron Donald he's probably the best defensive tackle to ever play the game.
Yeah, heard.
But it's like, who's better, Deion Sanders or Aaron Donald? It's like, well, fuck, I don't know. They're completely different positions. Like, more impactful? I
tend to agree. I mean, that'd be like comparing a tight end to a wide receiver.
Kind of. Right. It's like, who's better, Gronk or Jerry Rice? It's like, well,
yeah.
I don't know. Jerry Rice, I guess, but...
Let them both just be great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, can't they both be great? And I hate those. I really hate those conversations. Like, if you want to compare a receiver to a receiver in the same era, I'm here for that. Like, who's better, Cooper Kupp or Deebo Samuel? That's a great conversation because they're both in their prime right now playing, and you can compare apples to apples.
What's better? Your pick? What's your pick on those two?
Deebo.
Okay, heard.
I mean, he has more production on per touch. I mean, that's what it is. And it's Deebo black, also
it's Black History Month, so I'll let you have it. Like
it is what it is. There he is.
Oh man,
there he is. Johnny Bullitt in here, prisoner of the moment. and it is Deebo Samuel's the most versatile player in the NFL. I mean, he's a running back, he's a receiver. Every time you throw him the ball, he gets more yards than Cooper Kupp. He's the better player. And I didn't mean to bring that debate up, but that is a debate.
Good. I mean, we talked about it earlier this year. I mean, Deebo Samuel is the closest thing we may ever see to Percy Harvin if Percy Harvin was fully tap potential. Like
if he wasn't bipolar, for sure.
The closest thing we've ever seen. I do want to flip more to kind of like the NFL silly season in terms of like personnel stuff. because I want you to place these people in ideal situations, because with the NFL silly season, everybody's, you know, rumored to be available. Everybody's unhappy. Everybody's looking for a move. Everybody wants to be a contender. And that leaves, you know, stars who want to go contend somewhere else. So in an ideal world, Zach, where would you drop them? If I, you know, said, you know what, pick that person up and drop them on any team like you're playing Madden, what would be the most ideal, most successful? I want to start with Michael Thomas. Where would you like to see Michael Thomas next year in a dream situation?
The Rams. I mean, Cooper Kupp, you get Robert Woods back. Odell's gone. He's not only is he a free agent, but he tore his ACL, so he's probably not going to get re-signed. And he'll probably struggle to find a place to play just because, I mean, you tear your ACL in February. It's right. Very, very unlikely, if not impossible, to play football come August. I mean, that is a...
Well, and for him, since his recovery won't be done until kind of halfway through next season, kind of want to see who's a contender and what the needs are.
Yeah, and that's if he can be at 100%, you know, even at that point. So I think LA is a great spot for Mike, and not that he's leaving, but I know what you mean. Silly season. I think that you talk about an opportunity for a receiver, man. I mean, that offense we watched with Cooper Kupp on the other side, him becoming the two, I guess you would say, or the 1B, would be unbelievable. I don't know that they could do it cap wise. I mean, I'm not a pro when it comes to salary cap, and Mike is a $100 million receiver right now.
They couldn't do it cap wise, but that wasn't even the question. I just want
to that would be awesome to see. Obviously, as a Browns fan, I'd love to see him come to Cleveland. Not for him, but for me. It probably would not be ideal for him with Quaker Mayfield. I think LA is a great spot. I mean, there's a number of great spots. I think Green Bay, as long as Aaron Rodgers comes back, would be an awesome spot for him. There's a number of good landing spots. I do think that New Orleans is the worst spot. Like Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston is going to throw him the ball. I think New Orleans needs a quarterback in the worst way. And I see three on the list here, yep, that they could really benefit from.
Let me get to the next one. What about Russell Wilson?
I would love to see Russell in Cleveland. Would love it. I really would.
Here's the thing. Don't be a bitch. You don't get to put every quarterback on Cleveland as we keep doing this, okay?
Well, you got two more coming, and I'm going to say Cleveland for both. I mean, you know, you just look at it. Like, New Orleans is the one that needs a quarterback, you know, more than anyone, more than the Browns. I mean, the Browns, you can not be sold on Baker, but he was injured and all the other conversations about Baker, or Quaker. I'm sorry, Quaker Mayfield. You know, it's we'll see about Quaker this season. This season is the make or break, right? He's been up and down a roller coaster. He has shown flashes of being good and shown plenty of flashes of being bad. But New Orleans is the one that literally has no one. Like, you have no hope. Like, is Jameis Winston an NFL quarterback? Like, they can win I don't know, can make the playoffs, let alone win a Super Bowl? The answer is no, right? Taysom Hill, absolutely not. The fact that he is getting paid like he's getting paid is still shocking. And I feel like he had something on Sean Payton, maybe like naked pictures of his daughter or something, because Sean Payton gave him a massive contract. And then
they paid Kamara. Yeah. Before.
Yeah. And then deuced, like, just threw up the deuces. Like, peace, I'm out of here. It's like, what did he have on you? You knew you couldn't win with him. That's part of the reason you got out of it, but you paid him beforehand. Like, with someone else's money, gangster move. I don't know what you're trying to cover up. Like, he's got like pictures of your daughter with a donkey. I don't know, but
it's gotta be racist. I think that's just like,
it's gotta be racist.
We can't give this to the black athletes. Let's give it to Taysom Hill.
Jesus Christ.
For Russell Wilson, I think the ideal spot where I would like to see him. I would like to see Russell Wilson in New York. I think him, Saquon, Evan Ingram, Tony, I think that would be a really good spot for him. And yeah. I think it'd be good for New York as well, and good for I like when these big markets have really good teams.
Yeah. I mean, the Giants definitely need something, and Daniel Jones ain't it.
It's not it. And they got stuck in a bad spot. You know, that draft class, I mean, their choices were either Daniel Jones or Dwayne Haskins. They just got botched all the way around. I think New York would be a great spot for Russell Wilson. And with Sierra, her career, going to New York. Just
speaking of, did you see Russell Wilson might be the biggest bitch in sports? No, never mind sports. Did you see what happened at the Drake party?
Oh no, they said he's a cuck in a quarterback's body.
Yeah, he is. I mean, at the Drake threw a big Super Bowl party, I guess, and kind of surprise guest on stage with him was Future. And the minute Future came out, Russell and Sierra like beelined to their limo to leave. It's like, God, you are such a, like, you talk about small dick energy. Like, that man just is so jealous of Future. And it's like, God, well, no, come on, man.
It's so funny, bro, because I think he is jealous of Future, but I also think Future despises Russ.
Because, oh, for sure.
Because Future's kid call Russ dad.
Which I could go on for day. Like, if your real dad is in the picture, why is another man trying to get you to call him daddy? It's because he has small dick energy. Like, he can't make a girl orgasm and have a kid of his own. I don't know. Like, it's just, that's just weird. Like, why do you want to be called?
For the first year Sierra and Russell were together, they didn't do anything, I guess. That's the rumor. They were just
again small dick energy. Like, have you seen Sierra?
Yeah.
There's 0% chance that I would hold out for one night, let alone 1 year. I mean, just ridiculous. But I could go even further. I can't remember what it was, if it was a cameo or, but do you remember Russell Wilson? Oh, his alter ego video.
Oh my God. Oh no.
Like that, I, you know, God help Sierra, but
I love Russell Wilson, man. I just need him to be better for the culture.
I don't love Russell Wilson. I mean, he's a good player. I guess if that's what we're talking about, he's a good player, but man, he is the guy that like will, like when he's 45 and not everything he used to be, he will let someone else fuck his wife and watch, like, because she gets pleasure out of it. Like, he's that guy. I don't know what it's called.
A cuck.
He's that. He will definitely be like, yes, she needs pleased, and I will watch you do it. Like, he's that guy. It's just small dick energy. The opposite of Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow would never.
The opposite. Like, if Joe Burrow had an alter ego, it would be Russell Wilson, a nemesis, right?
You think that's lame of Drake to not let them know that, hey, Future's going to be performing?
No. What the fuck's it? Drake's problem to let them know. I'm just saying,
Sierra, like, I know you're coming to this party, but
no,
going to be performing.
No. Now, I mean, if it was Kim K and what's his name? Pete Davidson. Pete. He probably should let him know that Kanye's performing, because Kanye, hey, that shit is, he's a psychopath. Like, the gaslighting and the things he's doing on social media to her, like posting texts between them. Like, they have children.
He's calling that man Skeet Davidson.
Skeet. But it's just, it's honestly kind of scary what he's doing, because it's like he's trying to be so like I want her back kind of deal, but it's like stalking and harassment.
And he's got an album coming out, Zach.
So you think he's mentally sane and just brilliant and promoting his album? That's what you're going with.
I think that he loves attention so much that when he sees things getting attention, he just immediately grips to it. Like Chris. Like, whatever girl he was dating, he saw that it got some attention. He just immediately. No, I don't think he's mentally stable.
He's absolutely clinically insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, needs medicated and needs serious help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just making sure we covered that.
No, definitely heard that. Okay, back to the topic where we want to see quarterbacks land. Aaron Rodgers.
Cleveland.
Zach.
No, honestly, I think,
right,
I think
give me a top two, Cleveland being one of them.
Well, Cleveland's going to be the answer for every quarterback, but
okay, heard that.
I think Aaron Rodgers realistically should go to New Orleans. I do. With the defense they have built, with Michael Thomas, with Alvin Kamara, all those, like, the weapons they have, if they can draft a young receiver and sign Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you're talking about a Super Bowl contender right away.
Chris Olave would be a great fit there also.
Oh yeah. He'd be a great fit, especially with Mike being kind of the polar opposite type of receiver. Cause Mike is a lot like Garrett, right? They're very similar players. Garrett may be a little faster, but very similar, just ball skills, range, body, everything. They're very reminiscent of one another. So yeah, if New Orleans could draft Chris Olave, sign Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you're talking about they're right there in contention with the Rams and the 49ers in the NFC immediately. So I think that's the best fit for him. And I would imagine that's where he would want to go, right? It's really going to be up to him. I mean, he's going to have the pick of the litter, whether it's go back to Green Bay or go wherever he wants. He could honestly pick about anywhere other than maybe Cincinnati and Kansas City and maybe LA. And they'll say, oh, well, or Buffalo. I'd say Buffalo too. But like, he could pick anywhere. The other place it would be unbelievable for him to go is Tennessee. I mean, you imagine Aaron Rodgers on the Titans? Unbelievable.
I don't like that.
They would be Super Bowl favorites immediately.
That'd be something for Vrabel. That's interesting. That's interesting. I don't want to see him with the Steelers, obviously, because you don't want him in the division with.
I'll never Baker say the Steelers.
Yeah, I know, heard that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, ride out your career there. But what about Deshaun Watson? This one's a little bit trickier because he's got all the legal stuff, but no charges have been filed, and it's been there's
so we had Daniel Lust on the show, and I asked him about it, and there's not going to be charges at this point. It's taken too long.
Yeah.
It's taken too long. They would have already filed, because the thing about, and my question to him, you know, Daniel Lust is a sports attorney who's unbelievable. If you haven't followed him, go look him up. Sports Law Lust is his Twitter handle. There's not going to be charges because people are like, oh, no, they're just building a case. It's like, no. Once you know that you have a case, you file charges, and then you have a year until you go to court. So you build your case in that year. They're not trying to build a case anymore. They're doing their due diligence, but they're not going to file charges. Now, civil suit, he's going to deal with that. He's going to deal with civil suits, lawsuits. He'll probably have to pay millions of dollars, but he's not going to jail. He's not going to court for criminal charges. It's not happening. And I don't know why. I don't know the details of it. It seems a lot like some of these other high profile situations where it's like, here's what these attorneys do, right? And I'm not trying to discount that he didn't do anything wrong. He might have, I don't know. But just in general, when accusations like this come out, these lawyers that are representing the girl that started it, right? They try to find more victims and convince more girls that they were victims, right?
It's very TMZ-like.
It is, but the reason why is their paycheck goes up, right?
Yeah.
The amount of money the lawyer makes is based on the amount of money they win in a lawsuit. So the more victims equals more money for the victims and equals more money for the lawyer. So there is girls out there, and you know these girls, Instagram models, the fuck out of here. Deshaun Watson hits you up about a massage. You like, 90% of them are hopping on that dick.
Yeah.
And then it's like, after the fact, it's like, wait, I could get $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did assault me. It's like, no, he didn't, bitch. You're just fucking loose. You just jumped on that cock. He didn't assault anybody. And I'm not saying he didn't assault anybody.
Yeah.
But the minute that he either did or was accused of doing it, these lawyers are going to find every girl that he was inside, and they're jumping on the lawsuit because they want that payday. I mean, what do you mean? If you came to me and you were like, hey, this girl sexually assaulted a guy and we heard you were with her, I'd be like, yep, she sexually assaulted me too. How much is she worth? Yep, I'll take that paycheck. Like, what? It's what happens.
And they call it celebrity culture. Once you hit a certain status, once you hit a certain thing, there's this whole separate world about flying Instagram models out. And they all know the deal. They all know the code. I mean, there's this, my dude DJ Academics, I talk about often. I mean, he's like this chubby blogger, basically lived in his parents' basement for a bunch of years, got a bunch of YouTube subscribers, like this fat, he looks like a chipmunk. And he's admittedly just like this fat chipmunk, no hair. Not that I'm against no hair, Zach, just let me float that out there. But he just talks about, like, he just flies these girls out every other weekend. And he's like, these girls are way out of my league. And they just want to fuck me because I'm DJ Academics and I don't care. But I'm just surprised I haven't gotten caught up to this point. And it does feel like a situation where Deshaun Watson got caught up. Well, now, go ahead. No, you go first.
I just don't understand anyone with any type of celebrity that doesn't protect themselves better. Mm-hmm. I guess they're just naive or dumb. Yeah. I mean, like,
this reminds me of a story you told me. You said you were at a bar and this girl was like, who the fuck are you?
Oh my God. Yeah. She said, who the fuck are you? I was like, nobody. What do you like? And she was like, well, I fucked Wiz Khalifa. And I was like, man, aren't you awesome? Like, can I have your autograph? Mm-hmm. Like, Wiz Khalifa is, I've seen, I don't know, it's not certainly not something to brag about, especially being a random. Like if you said you dated him and like were a serious girlfriend, I'd still be like, yikes, Wiz Khalifa. But but what I don't understand is why they don't protect it. Like, have they never seen 50 Shades of Grey? Like, get yourself a non-disclosure agreement. Like, get someone on camera that saying that she agrees to have sex with you. Like, you have to protect yourself. And after what I've been through, that's the only way to operate. You need everything confirmed. I mean, once I got arrested, literally everything I do is on camera. I mean, I have cameras at my house. I have cameras in my car. Like, nothing that I ever do will not be on camera, because the truth is always is on my side. And if I do something bad, whatever, it's on camera. Like, I should be held accountable. But I will never again get crucified or convicted for something that I didn't do, or something that wasn't what they're making it seem. And the problem is you need evidence to prove that. So any girl that I would ever get involved with would sign an agreement and be on camera saying she agrees to do it. Like, and you can make it fun if you want, but and I'm just saying, like, you can make it sexy. It doesn't have to be like, do you agree? Yes. Okay. Let's go. Right. Like, I don't know why a celebrity wouldn't do that. Like, why, if you're going to have an Instagram model, be like, hey, listen, I'm going to film this. Like, it's not going to go anywhere, and we can stop it once we start or something like that. But I just need this, you know, I got to protect myself. I'm worth $100 million.
Or where do you see Deshaun Watson playing football? You could drop him somewhere, where would you
drop
him?
I forgot it. I forgot about the conversation. this is the one that I realistically think could be Cleveland, because of what they already did with Kareem Hunt, right? They're in a position, almost a desperate position, where if they take a chance on Deshaun Watson, no one is mad if it doesn't work out, right? Because Cleveland fans, Cleveland supporters, they just want hope, right? And they had hope this year and finished last in the division. And the team that finished last in the division, their rival, went to the Super Bowl. So it was like the ultimate shattering of hopes and dreams. It was like, leading into this season, the Browns fans were like, holy shit, we are a playoff team and maybe a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, second most, like second or third in terms of like Super Bowl bets were the Browns this year.
Yeah. And come to find out, just not. And it was a quarterback away.
And I think people don't realize how good Deshaun Watson is. Like, Deshaun Watson is legitimately a very, very good quarterback. One of the more accurate passers in the league. He's a gamer. I mean, he reminds me of a taller version of Russell Wilson. I think he's better in the intermediate game, but not as good as a deep ball thrower. He's a really good quarterback, and he was playing for a bad team that they traded his best weapon away. Like, they traded his guy away. They tried to do everything they could to make sure that he failed, and he was still a very good quarterback.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. He will be, I mean, he might be a little rusty, got to knock the rust off. I mean, he hasn't played in over a year, but as far as talent and ability, he's, you know, top five, top 10, whatever you want to call it.
He immediately walks into a situation where he's got, you know, two of the better running backs in the NFL, a good offensive line, which he has not had before, and decent weapons. I know everyone in Cleveland is like, our receivers are so bad. Well, look at the stats. Well, part of that issue is the quarterback play. I think he can make those receivers.
Yeah, they're not.
Think twice about them, right?
And I want to address this. Colorado Buckeye, there will be none of this on this show. None of this slander on Cleveland Browns, all right? How many quarterbacks over the last 15 years? Probably 30, all right? and I think all of them were first-round draft picks. We know this. Don't rip my heart out and make me relive it and talk about it.
I thought for sure Brandon Weeden was going to be good. Like, I thought for sure, Zach.
Well,
that was my biggest draft.
That's unfortunate.
That one, and I thought that Josh Rosen was going to be the next Aaron Rodgers. But again, that's why I'm here with you and not on here.
I think if you want to talk about Browns quarterbacks, the one that I thought could have been successful was Brady Quinn. Granted, I've known him since I was 14. So there's a little bias there. But some of those draft picks were absolutely idiotic. Deshaun Kizer.
Johnny Manziel. Were you geeked about that one or no?
I mean, both of those were just laughable. Just the fact that they would even consider that those guys could be franchise quarterbacks is someone made money to make that decision. And it's just mind blowing, the incompetency in the NFL. It really is.
Well, it's like a businessman type thing. I do want to ask about certain draft prospects, where you would like to see them land, and then a little quick why afterwards. And obviously, we're going to stick to more of the guys that you're familiar with, just because that's kind of what we're here to do.
So Cleveland?
Yeah, well, okay, calm down. For the kid's success. I want you to think about the kid's success and not the team's success.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, I want you to flip it around. First one, Garrett Wilson.
Ooh. Well, it's got to be someone, you know, high in the draft, or mm-hmm. He's not going to end right. there.
Right? I mean, realistic.
Yeah, it'd be great to say L.A., right?
The Rams.
the Bengals. Like, yeah, it'd be a great landing spot either place, but they're not going to get him. I don't have the draft order in front of me, but I would imagine just a good quarterback situation. I think it's tough because you want to see where some of this quarterback movement plays out. Like, mm-hmm. he would be absolutely outstanding and the luckiest receiver ever to play with Aaron Rodgers, right? Or to play with it's like Michael Thomas. You want to play with a great quarterback, and then you have a chance to really make a splash in the NFL.
I think Atlanta at 8 would be interesting for Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, it would
be. They have Kyle Pitts. They're going to need to do a quarterback situation later on, but I think Matt Ryan is a good quarterback and a good quarterback for him.
Atlanta would be a good spot. You have Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts. Garrett Wilson would be a great addition to their team. And I'm with you. Matt Ryan would be a great quarterback to start your career with, and then hopefully they bring in, you know, somebody that can really play. but I don't know that I would wish him to go to the Atlanta organization.
I think the Eagles would be solid too. I mean, I know they just drafted a receiver in last year's draft, but I think Jalen Hurts is going to be a good quarterback moving forward.
Yeah, I'm out on that. But he was average as shit in college, and he has done well in the NFL for sure. But I'm not going to sit here and act like he's going to be Russell Wilson or someone that has like a 10 or 12 year career as a great quarterback. I do not believe that at all.
The Browns might be the best place for him, unless he somehow falls to 17, the Chargers at 17, but he won't.
Yeah, the Chargers would be great. It's just, I don't think he's going to go there. I think that's a great fit, though.
Okay, so the Browns, I can let you have that one. The Browns are that one. This one is, you have a little bit more freedom because I don't think that he'll go as high as a lot of people expect. Chris Olave.
I mean, it's going to be similar teams, right? I think that...
You don't think he falls to the 20s? Like 23, Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, I think...
22, Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think he's a late first round draft pick. That's what I think he is. And you could see the Raiders because of what happened with Henry Ruggs. I mean, he's probably never playing football again. So they can just kind of wash that one. And what they did last year with their first round draft picks, I mean, both of them are facing charges and facing prison. So as unfortunate as it is, I think Vegas would be a decent landing spot. I think Carr's a good quarterback. You know, not top 5 or 10, but he's functioning. He's not Quaker.
I'll push back. I think he's top 10.
He might be top 10. I mean, he's top 10. You say that.
I'm a fantasy fan. So.
You say that, but you could name 10 quarterbacks you'd rather have than him.
Okay.
I mean, you definitely could.
Yeah, I mean, I could if youth, but I think last year he was definitely a top 10-ish quarterback. He reminds me of Carson Wentz a little bit.
Yeah.
That kind of stylistically. Like, they both show these flashes of some big-time throws, and they'll give you, like, two or three games where it's like, ew, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. There's no
doubt. I think Vegas would be a good spot for him.
The other team that I even saw in the comments is the Bears. Mm. I mean, the Bears need a receiver desperately. Right. What's their draft position? Do you have it in front of you?
I don't think they have a first rounder this year.
Well, then never mind. But
they could try to trade back in, but I know they traded because they moved up to get Justin.
Well, I will say this then. I will go out on a limb. I see the next name on the list and we'll move forward onto it. I think Jameson Williams is a great option for the Bears in the second round, because now with his injury, I'm not saying he's going to fall out of the first round, because he might not. He shouldn't. He's the most. Before he got hurt, he was the most talented receiver in this draft class. But with a fresh ACL, with what happened to Odell injuring his ACL the second time, like, this stuff, it trends a certain direction, right? And I think that people will be apprehensive of taking a guy that just tore his ACL, because you don't know what he's going to come back like. Is he going to be the same player eventually? Is it going to take a year or two? And so I think his draft stock has slipped a little bit, and I could see a team in the second round, you know, high up in the second round, early second round, taking Jameson. So I think the Bears reuniting with Justin Fields would be an awesome opportunity for him, and it would be great for the team to get that kind of value in a second round draft pick.
Yeah, I think that'd be ideal, because Chicago traded their first round pick for this year to get up to Justin Fields, which I am all for trading future draft picks to get a quarterback.
Absolutely.
I believe that you have to stand on that. But it does hurt because it is the number 7 pick. So now the New York Giants have the number 5 and 7 pick in this draft because they own the Bears pick. And I, you know, after watching what Chase did value-wise for the Bengals, I think it'd be really good to pair up a guy with familiarity and pair up a guy who could be an absolute game wrecker. Like Jamar Chase is a game wrecker.
Well, and that's what the Bears need to do, right? The Bears need to go all in on the Bengals model, essentially, right? Like, I know you need linemen. I know we know your needs, right? But right now, Justin Fields is athletic. He can avoid a rush. Like, it's not ideal to have him just under duress all the time, but at least give the motherfucker someone to throw the ball to. Like, what do you want him to do? He has no time in a pocket. When he does escape, he has no one worth a shit to throw the ball to. So it's literally the formula for disaster. And that coach, what's his name? Matt Nagy. He is a clown. So they need a better plan. Yeah. And if the the Bengals showed the way.
And like it makes teams think twice about zeroing you or leaving guys one-on-one outside. Like when you have a guy who's a fucking game wrecker outside, and teams have to worry about blitzing, that does so much for the quarterback. And then when a quarterback like Justin Fields or Joe Burrow does see a blitz, it's like, okay, like I have some dudes outside that are players. So it's definitely less stressful and it presents higher risk to the opposing defense. I think that's absolutely super important in the case.
Yep.
And I have to throw in this guy because, you know, I love him. My guy, Kenny Pickett, man. Where do we want to see Kenny Pickett at? Now, he can go to any team looking for a quarterback, really.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope he does a great job. You know, is on a practice squad for a couple of years and makes some good money and then goes and gets a real job. That's what I hope he does.
Calm down. He's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback for the future.
That's obviously the hometown kid, right? Comes back. The Steelers.
They drafted James Conner. That they have a track record of doing that.
Yeah, right. And the Steelers might be the only team in the NFL that needs a quarterback. Well, that's not true. New Orleans also that need a quarterback worse than the Browns do. I don't know. I'm not sold on the kid as an NFL player. I'm just not.
And what about Matt Corral as an NFL player? Do you have any thoughts on him? I think he can rip it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I love him. He's a baller. I honestly think this is the worst quarterback class that I've seen in a decade at least.
It's really bad, man.
And because of that, you're going to get some reaches like Kenny Pickett got and Matt Corral, that neither of them are first round quarterbacks. If they came out any other year, they would not be first round quarterbacks, but now they're being discussed as one because it's like, no, but I mean, quarterbacks have to go in the first round. Like, no, they don't. The NFL idiots will probably draft them in the first round, but it's just, I don't see NFL star capability out of either. I really don't.
Ooh, we have a schematics question, Zach, and I'm going to throw up on here. What is your favorite Cover 7 beater?
I don't know what Cover 7 is.
Me either. I thought you knew.
No, it's one of those things where there's verbiage for different coverages, but that's not a common coverage term, I guess, or that I've ever heard, or maybe I just haven't heard of it. But if you explain what Cover 7 is, I could tell you. I don't know.
Man of bracket defense, if you know what that means.
No, I don't.
Saban.
Nick Saban bracket defense. Is it a quarters base or is it a because Saban's a big one high man slash zone? It's a combination man slash zone. Like it's man coverage if you go past 7 yards, it's zone coverage if you don't. So like you try to run mesh routes, it's zone coverage. You try to run vertical routes, it's man coverage. but I don't know. I don't know what.
I was just trying for the football nerds to get you some weight. Now you
shoot me a DM. Boonk. Is that how you say?
Boonk? That's Boonk Gang. That's a reference to Boonk Gang. Whole lot of gang shit. He would like film himself going up to people and like asking like, oh, how much does this cost? And then hand it to him and like tell him the cost. And he would be filming a selfie and then he'd just run away. Say Boonk Gang. Whole lot of gang shit. Just run off. Oh, quarters. Okay.
Yeah, quarters. I mean, you got to isolate the one-on-ones. If you're talking about like a bracket coverage on the slot, Yeah, and Bama does play a lot of quarters. That's their two coverages. They play a quarters bracket and a one high hybrid man zone. You got to honestly, if you're talking about, oh, there you go. It's a defensive motto. Yeah, I would. If you're talking about a bracket on the slot, which is what most quarters teams do, right? They press the field number one to eliminate him because you don't throw to him very often. So you either take a shot to him because that's their lesser corner, put a good player out there, or I'm attacking the nickel because that's probably their third cover guy. And if you can play action, the safety who's in the run fit, you have a nice one-on-one with a nickel that is not ideal for them. So whatever you want from there, I mean, whatever route you want. But that's who I'm trying to isolate, I guess.
Heard that. Now, you did mention you want to talk a little bit about parents, the good, the bad, the ugly. Do you have a good parent and a bad parent from your time at Ohio State?
I mean, so it was a question I got on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, for the most part, we had great parents at Ohio State. Like the person mentioned, Cheryl Bosa, I guess they were at the Fiesta Bowl. And I'm going to look up a person's name because it's unfair to talk about it and not give them the credit that is due. Randy Rao, that's who it is. So anyways, after Joey Bosa got kicked out of the Fiesta Bowl, the guy was in line to buy a beer. And his buddy asked him, like, okay, what do you think Joey Bosa is doing right now? And he was like, shit, probably having a beer with Gene Smith. And then someone behind him was like, no, he's not. And it turned around as Cheryl Bosa, who is awesome. You talk about fun. An awesome parent. She's awesome. But I've had some experiences with parents that, like, Paris Campbell's mom is one of my favorite parents ever. I could go down the list. KJ Hill's entire family. KJ Hill has probably the coolest family I've ever seen. Parents are divorced, both remarried, and it is four people that are friends and that are raising a young man. His stepdad is unbelievable. His real dad is unbelievable. His mom, his stepmom, everyone. It's honestly like I'm sitting here, I'm divorced, right? And I'm looking at them like, damn, why can't we do that? Like, why can't everyone do that? Because they are just awesome people. Like, one of my favorite families I've ever met.
He's a great young man, too. So that's, you know.
Yeah. Terry McLaurin's family is great. Michael Thomas's dad and uncle are outstanding. Obviously, his uncle's Keyshawn Johnson. Just great people, real people. So I don't know. I mean, I could probably go on forever. Noah Brown's mom is awesome. I'm trying to think. I guess pain in the ass parents is what you're asking about, really.
I think I know too. Like, if I were just to guess,
Dontre Wilson's dad is a good dude, but such a pain in the ass. Was unbelievably tough to deal with. I don't know. I mean, I didn't really have.
I thought you were gonna mention Annie Apple at some point.
No, Annie Apple is the absolute worst of worst. She's such an attention seeking fucking clown. I mean, she was the person that you know, went to social media and was just livid that we made the playoffs and she had to pay for an extra bowl trip. And not the fact that she was pissed about it, because that was valid. And Urban actually went to bat to get money for the families because that was unfair. Like, we made the playoffs, so those families had to pay for an extra bowl trip. That is fair and valid. But why are you on Twitter, Annie? Shut up. And even more than that, like, the shit she tries to champion on social media is just hilarious. Like, this oppressed bullshit. Like, they came over here from Africa, I guess. I don't know their full story. I probably shouldn't even talk about it. But
you're playing a dangerous game right now.
Well, now her son is a millionaire NFL football player. Her brother is a millionaire comedian. Like, how are you going to shit on America?
And she also worked for ESPN right when he got drafted by New York.
Oh, yeah, because she was his mom. She's not. Yeah. She provides no fucking value to ESPN. She's
saying, like, I mean, she's a woke ESPN New York hired her, right?
Yeah, of course, for like a day. But she's awful. She was awful to deal with. Absolutely awful to deal with. The coaches thought so, and I didn't have to deal with her, so I'm just telling you what everyone else told me. Awful to deal with, and just a huge pain in the ass. And as I said, Dontre, one of the hardest was Devin Smith's stepdad, who, I mean, since he doesn't talk to him anymore, but God, he was a pain in the ass. He just thought he was fucking knew everything, and Urban and I knew nothing. And it's like, listen, we're trying to coach Devin and get him to become a great player. How about you shut the fuck up? But he loved to come in with that smug look, like, what's the deal here? Like, looking at us like we owe him something. Like, bitch, you didn't even make this kid.
Oh, brother.
And you're a shitbag. Like, he said, save fucking energy for someone else.
Not your nut. You didn't do anything.
And I got no problem with that. If he was a great dad, great father figure, great influence, I mean, you're the dad. I don't just because you didn't genetically create the kid doesn't matter. But he wasn't. He did not have the kids. He had his own selfish interest in mind. Like, he would come in pissed off because he viewed Devin not getting more catches or Devin not playing more as us fucking up his money. And you're like, you fucking scumbag.
That would drive me insane.
But on the other side, Devin Smith's mom, fucking outstanding. Like, one of my favorite humans ever. Corey Smith's parents were awesome. I mean, genuine, awesome people, just not parents. I mean, they just, like, Corey would do some absolutely idiotic shit, and I would call them and try to get them involved, and they'd be like, well, I've been telling CJ, God's got him. I mean, God needs to help him. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, okay. Yeah. God's got him. I got you. Guess what? Fucker's going to end up in prison. Hopefully God can help him there. Like, God got him. Gotcha. Good answer.
Well, okay, Zach, that's all I have for today. We went a little bit over today, but we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be addressing more questions. I see a lot of good questions I'm taking note of right now, kind of on the chat. Thanks, everyone, for stopping by. Spring football's coming up too, Zach, so I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point. Do you have anything else that you want to touch base on before we get on out of here?
That's it. I appreciate everyone showing up. 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. We're on here live, and then it'll be out on podcast form. So what is Pat McAfee? Be a friend, tell a friend.
Be a friend, right? Tell a friend. Yeah, be and subscribe. Friend. Yeah, everybody go subscribe to the YouTube.
Yeah, if you're on YouTube, hit subscribe and hit the bell so you know when we're going live. It'll be, like I said. Oh, the other thing, Chris, is Friday Spaces we're going to do live.
Yeah.
I think.
Awesome.
I got to figure out the logistics of how to do that. But we will be live on Spaces at the same time. All of that will be live on YouTube and Facebook. So make sure you just subscribe. Follow us on Facebook at Menace to Sports. Just follow us everywhere. Support us. Help us make it grow.
And if you guys throw questions in the comment section of the YouTube video, if you guys watch it later or have a question that comes to mind, I do monitor that and I go through and pull the good questions that we can address on the show. So go subscribe, go throw a question, go retweet the video once it's up, like share it. That's like one of the most powerful things we have.
Definitely retweet.
When you see the live thing going across your feed, hit it with a retweet. The bigger audience we get, the more cool stuff we're going to get. And obviously we're going to get a lot of cool guests this offseason. We are trying to make the offseason as fun as possible. And then once we get to the season for Ohio State football next year, it's going to be fucking crazy. We're
going
to be
going crazy. This is going to go wild.
I'm nuts.
So appreciate everybody for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Menace out.